Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James J. Maylov here, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning. Got good things lined up. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. We're going to get into why the wait-to-eat rule at dinner can feel a little uncomfortable. Pizza Hut's got a new limited edition controversial flavor that we've got to talk about.
Yeah, you sent that to me. I didn't look at it yet.
Yeah. And are you cool? I mean, are you cool? A study found it comes down to these six traits. We will discuss and see how many of them I don't have. We will get into that. Kick off the 10 o'clock hour with some entertainment news. We have our moment of Dolly to get into there.
Just a moment.
We got some more stuff there. We'll talk about some local theater, too. And a little bit later, I got a songs for your 4th of July playlist.
Hey.
And a study found recycling could have lottery jackpots. I want to dive into that with you, Melissa.
Oh, yes. This is a fascinating topic.
Getting into that one and all that, as we will. But I do want to cover a couple of things this morning in our opening monologue here, Melissa. How is Pigeon Gate going? How is Pigeon Story going?
Pigeon Gate? My Pigeon Quest?
Yeah, Pigeon Quest.
Well, it's going well. those who are following will know, there was a shipping delay because of the heat. It wasn't safe to send paint bucket through the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was talking with, yes, paint bucket is the bird.
It's the bird that Melissa is going to be getting.
Yes, that is the name the shelter has given this pigeon. But their story is it's a beautiful story, and the rehabilitation that has happened with Paint Bucket and volunteers at the Great Lakes Pigeon Rescue is just, their stories are beautiful. Yeah. I gotta give kudos to, I don't know if you've seen these, I should send it to you, James, because the person who is writing the stories for these pigeons has a gift.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But yes, they are, to make a long story short, because it is a long story, the shipping delay happened, so now I have been in contact with them back and forth through email about, okay, but the next shipping date only is the 7th because of the holiday this week. They only ship on Mondays for the safety of the birds, so they're not, you know, stuck somewhere over the weekend. So the next possible shipping date was the 7th, and I was like, well, if that is still going to be hot, because you know it's July in Wisconsin, so we've now arranged that I'm actually going to meet a volunteer halfway from Chicago and pick up Paint Bucket myself.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So there's no shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll be a hand-to-hand transfer in Janesville.
Be a bit of a bonding thing for you too, with Pink
right.
Bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's happening next the 7th.
Okay, all right.
But no, the 6th Sunday.
That is wild. My father's birthday is on the 7th. Who was born in Chicago. And part of the reason I'm bringing this up is my cousin, who listens to us when she has a chance in the mornings and everything, heard about this and was very excited for you. And then also offered, if something were to go wrong, you weren't able to get Paint Bucket, her being in the city, she can grab you a pigeon. She can grab you one. Just let us know. Sherry, she's great. Shout out to my cousin Sherry. She's great. But yeah.
Well, that's kind of you. Thank you.
Let us know how it goes. And do send that to me, please. I would love to read that.
Oh, I will.
I would love to read that.
It is a beautiful story.
We're talking pigeons and s'mores this morning. Summer is moving into high gear. And you know, we're all looking into, there are certain things that stand out about summer. And that, of course, a lot of people enjoy fireworks. We encourage you to not only enjoy those fireworks, but to enjoy them on the right times. Be safe with them, of course, and keep in mind that we have a lot of, especially in towns like ours here in Wisconsin Rapids, where we're a smaller community, a lot of our community members are veterans, and fireworks are very different for them. And I cannot think of many sillier things to me in our society that we continue to kind of do this and knowing that it's hurting our veterans and just continue to do it. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm not saying we get rid of fireworks. I mean the knucklehead that at midnight on July 2nd has to start lighting fireworks in his neighborhood. Who do you think this is for? Who do you think is enjoying this? Because I'll tell you who isn't. The people that the reason you can do that, our veterans. So I just ask people to keep in mind, enjoy these fireworks. Just enjoy them at the right times. Keep in mind, maybe even, you know, get to know your neighbors a little bit and find out, hey, oh, I didn't know that Joe over here was a veteran. And this really bugs him when I do this. Maybe I'll stop doing it because the only real reason I can do this is because of people like Joe and veterans.
Right. And I did reach out to Tom. Tom sent us a reminder of that yard sign. Just saying, you know, combat veteran lives here. Please be courteous with fireworks. I reached out to him to see if they have those available at the VFW or where people can pick them up if you are a combat veteran and you want your neighbors to know. The other thing, like you said, get to know your neighbors. And if they are veterans, let them know. You know, it just a heads up is worth so much when you're dealing with situations like PTSD. And just them having the heads up to know that you're, okay, I'm going to shoot fireworks off at 8 o'clock on Wednesday.
And I've been, that's all great notes, Melissa. And I've been sitting on this for a couple of years now, and I'm just going to pull it. I'm just going to say it. If you are doing this, if you continue to do this and everything, you're being selfish and you're really missing the point. You're really missing the point. The 4th of July is not just about that. It's not just about, you know, celebrating fireworks, throwing them all over the place and everything. And, you know, disturbing them, animals, and all the above.
Yes.
There are better ways to celebrate.
Too. Yeah,
there are better ways to celebrate. Like s'mores. S'mores are quiet, and they're a big sign of summer. And according to the data from Instacart, this week is peak s'mores season.
Ooh.
We are in peak s'more season, everybody.
Peak s'mores.
Keep that in mind. Keep an eye on each other. This week of the 4th is when they see the biggest spike in orders of graham crackers and marshmallows together. The second biggest spike is around Memorial Day, the quote unofficial start of summer. Then there's a similar, smaller jump around Labor Day in early September. So that's interesting. It's a kind of interesting way that develops and everything. I think that one of the other parts of this that I like, too, is how to make the perfect s'more.
There's going to be big debate on this, James.
Yeah.
Because I have strong feelings about how to make the perfect s'more.
Before we jump into that real quick, is there a... I don't know that... I never really thought about a perfect time. I guess summer, sure. For s'mores, but I'll have them in the winter. I'll have them in, you know, I don't know if there's a bad time necessarily. It might be a peak time, but not a bad time.
So when you're camping is obviously the perfect time to have a s'more. But yeah, I like to, are we getting to the point where we're talking about how to now?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I make my s'more, I have to, toast the marshmallow perfectly. Like, it has to be the perfect melty marshmallow, which takes time and effort to do it perfect without burning it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're putting a marshmallow on a s'more, you want the ooey gooey goodness of the marshmallow, not just a burnt outside and a raw middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm eating a marshmallow by itself, no s'more, that's when I burn the outside.
Oh, okay.
Because then I eat it in layers. You burn it, and then you peel off the outside layer. And it's crispy, it's sweet, it's a little burnt.
Yeah.
And then you do that over and over and over. And you have like, I don't know, it's like the Swiss cake roll of marshmallows.
Yeah, nice. Yes, yes. I love the getting it that golden brown. When you know that you've got
s'mores,
it right.
That's perfect. Mm.
The roast, just looking at this, a kid's summer camp came up with the most perfect ways to make s'mores. And we got a little bit of a guide here for you. We've done this one before, but bringing it back. The roasting technique, most people agree with it, that the marshmallow and how to roast it is the most critical part of the equation. They found that the ideal roasting time is exactly 2 minutes and 37 seconds over medium heat. I don't know.
Over medium heat.
Eyeball it.
So if we're doing this inside over your stove top, However, when you had a fire, like, guys, can you get that fire to medium heat, please?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. I don't know
how you... You know, 2 minutes and, 37 seconds for my marshmallow.
And I know that we've made s'mores, like, for, like, sleepovers and stuff like that, but I don't remember any of that. And I'm pretty sure we just put them on the... We just made them. We didn't, like, burn the marshmallows or anything. We just ate them raw or whatever you'd say.
Oh, I don't know. Inside?
Yeah,
I've never made a s'more when I'm not at a campfire.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. As far as the traditional way, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The chocolate. While traditional milk chocolate works fine, darker chocolate gives it an extra flavor punch.
Mm-hmm.
They suggest using a one that's about 70% cocoa, and the chocolate should be softened by the first by the fire just before sandwiching it.
It would be better to be softened because s'mores are messy if the chocolate is hard.
That's what I was thinking.
Which is, I think, why the milk chocolate is usually, you know, the easier one, because milk chocolate's softer than dark chocolate. But the, you know, obviously doing things like Reese's Pieces candies, those are super soft. It makes your marshmallow s'more easy to eat then and tasty.
And the graham cracker. It provides the crunch and structure that holds the whole thing together. A slightly honey-flavored graham cracker tastes the best, and the cracker should be warmed for 12 seconds on each side before assembling to enhance the texture of the flavor profile.
Oh, wow. I have never warmed the graham cracker.
I mean, you really got to love s'mores to go through all this, I feel like.
Typically, yeah. at the campouts that I have made s'mores at, you're more dealing with moisture problems with your s'more or your graham crackers, so they might be a little less crisp, which is also okay, because then your s'more doesn't break apart when you take that first bite.
Yeah, which it happens so often.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they throw in here the ratio. When you finally go to assemble it, the perfect s'more will have a ratio that's 2 parts graham cracker, 3 parts marshmallow, and 1 part chocolate.
Make sure you bring your scale.
Yeah,
when you go to make s'mores,
because we all remember how many times we've seen kids sitting there, you know, measuring everything and making sure that everything. Just give it. Just dive in, eat it, enjoy.
Most often, it's okay. We got to ration the chocolate so we don't run out. You each get one square.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
You know, I started following Melissa Gilbert on Facebook. She's got I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know the name of her page, but it's like Midwestern styling or something like that. But she did a video where she took marshmallows and made them look like firecrackers. And the way she did it is she like dipped them in water and then would dip them in colored sprinkles. So you can do red and blue and whatever color of sprinkles you have, and then you let them dry and set. And then you can roast them over the fire with these colorful sprinkles on them and turn them into s'mores. I just thought that was, like, you know, the best combination of fireworks and s'mores in this time of year. And, you know, my little house in the prairie friend.
I like that. I dig that. That is pretty cool. We want to hear how you make your s'mores. And I want to hear if anybody's ever done anything, like, ever used white chocolate with your s'mores or...
Or candy bars. What's your favorite candy bar?
Yeah. Cinnamon graham crackers. Patties. Yeah. All kinds of... Yeah. Have you ever done anything different with them? Or do you just have your own way of making them? We'd love to hear from you. You can call us up through the Civic Media app or text us through there. We'd love to hear from you. Keep that app handy because we're going to get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Mm-hmm. And we want your birthdays and anniversaries, and we're drawing our June winner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's coming up.
Okay, I gear up.
Yes, Melissa's got to get ready for this. She's got to pick a number in a few minutes. So you go ahead and center yourself.
Just go do some
push-ups. Yeah. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. You heard Pitbull. It's time to get some celebrating in with our good friends over at the El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and talk about El Cafe over at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. They're open for the week, everybody.
They are, and they have some great specials this Independence Day week holiday. Patriot pancakes.
I love it. I love it.
It's 3 of our famous fluffy pancakes topped with strawberries, blueberries, and whipped cream. Add eggs or meat for $3. Oh, that sounds fabulous.
That really
right?
sounds good, yeah. That all-American burger sounds good.
Mm, oh, yeah. Oh, and so does the Independence Day Benedict. Yeah. I'm sorry, James. I'm still stuck on breakfast.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I'm with you. I was stuck there, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's a English muffin top with country fried steak and smothered in our homemade gravy, served with potato or fruit. Mm. But, of course, you would go for the burger.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Mm. But they all sound really good. They got a shrimp salad on there. Check it out at their Facebook page, everybody. And they do a great job of updating that all the time for you. It's a great place to go to not only keep up to date on what they're doing, but reach out to them if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, they're just so friendly. And you feel like you're, I don't know, not that you're home, but maybe in your grandma's kitchen.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Or your aunties.
The atmosphere is wonderful. The energy over there is fantastic. Check it out today. Get on over there, everybody. 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Treat yourself. And
I really
get
want
us those
pancakes.
Yeah, I really do. Yeah. Get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. You can email us info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages. You can call on up.
That's right, 715-424-2600. And you probably have the Civic Media app, and that's an easier way to call. Just press the call button. I think there's one more button you got to press, but then you'll connect directly to us. Easy peasy.
And we encourage you to do that, everybody. And you could be like our next winner here. We're going to draw our winner for June. What we do every month, every day of the work week, we grab a qualifier every day. And at the beginning of the next month, we grab a name out of a hat, and or somebody actually just picks the name out of the numbers that I'm given. but I don't have these numbered today. They're not numbered.
Uh-oh.
I've never had them
dear.
Not numbered. So I just got to kind of like eyeball this a little bit. But
ooh, you know what I think you should do, James, instead? You should pick the winner today.
No, I got it in front of me. That
I know, but you don't look. You do it like you do on a map. You just close your eyes and you point.
Yeah, I could do that. I like you
picking
it.
Because how am I going to pick?
Well, because I know that we had 30 days in June, and I know we had at least 31 or 32 qualifiers. So let's say 31. And let's 1 through 31, Melissa.
Should I make you count all the way?
I already did. I already did. Couldn't help myself.
All right. Well, I'm going to make it easy on you, James. Mm. I'm going to pick number 6.
All right. That gives us Elliot and Jesse Wirt. Elliot and Jesse Wirt.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Elliot and Jesse Wirt had an anniversary earlier in June. So now you're going to get to celebrate a month later, you guys. Enjoy. They just got themselves two $20 gift certificates from our friends at over at El Cafe. Big thank you to them for sponsoring this segment, giving us the opportunity to do this. Shout out to Elliot and Jesse Wirt, our June qualifiers. Congratulations, Elliot and Jesse.
Winners. They are winners.
Darn it, I keep doing that. Yeah, winners.
That's all right. That's
congratulations. All right. Now we look at today's list. Who are our first qualifiers for the month of July? Getting right into this.
I can't believe it's July.
Yeah. Yeah, you're telling me. Yeah. One or two, Melissa?
One.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Kathy Stoner, who lives in Texas. Jeff Stoner's wife. Jeff, you used to work here a while ago, but a long time.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Kathy.
Wishing you a good one, Kathy. And we wish a very happy birthday to Stacy Nelson.
Happy birthday, Stacy.
Enjoy the day, Stace. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to our qualifier, Mary Lou Gums.
Aw, happy birthday, Mary Lou.
Enjoy the day. Wishing you a good one, Mary Lou. Have a great day.
Congratulations.
Let's see who you share your birthdays with. Chloe Bailey is 27, one half of Chloe and Haley. That's a band, I believe. That's a band.
I have no idea, but I like the name Chloe.
I do. This is a great name, yeah. Let's see here. Liv Tyler is 48.
Wow.
Arwen in Lord of the Rings movies. And, of course, the daughter of Steven Tyler. Mm-hmm. She was in the, or not Steven Tyler. Steven Tyler, yeah. She was in the Crazy video back in the day, and that was really a big break for her. But Armageddon, a number of movies. I really thought she did a good job in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she did. And I don't know. Armageddon was kind of the movie for me with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But she, I did love her in Lord of the Rings, too.
Yeah, and I don't know that she ever really got a real break in acting. Like, I mean, obviously got lots of breaks, big-time movies and all that. We just mentioned two of the bigger movies of our youth. But I don't know that she really ever was able to break away from being Steven Tyler's daughter or some of the history there. Todd Rundgren deserves a shout-out, too. Todd Rundgren helped raise her. And you know, that's also noteworthy. But just... interesting life, interesting person, and I would like to have seen her get a chance at some other acting roles outside of some of the ones she did.
Yeah, That Thing You Do. I also really
like that. Oh, yes. Good call. Yeah. Tom Hanks' first directed first movie he directed.
Yeah.
Missy, Misdemeanor Elliot is 54. I just heard Laura shout. I just heard Laura. big fan. She's great. A complete original. A complete original artist. And I wouldn't have guessed her 54, though, yeah. Pam Anderson is 58.
Wow.
You know, not for nothing, she's really done quite a job with her career. Where she was and, you know, the Baywatch stuff, and she has a moment there where she's doing some movies and magazines and some of that, and then she kind of fades away for a while. And her bounce back, where she's done so much for animal rights and a lot of those things, I've admired. She's it's pretty interesting.
And I also just recently saw a video with her where I think it was on, like, Drew Barrymore's show or something, where they're talking about embracing her looks as without makeup.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, uber important for women to be able to embrace their natural beauty again.
Yeah.
Because women are beautiful. And we don't need makeup to enhance that.
Agreed. 100% agreed. Yes. Could not agree more with you.
It's a societal pressure that we shouldn't have to bow down to. And Pamela Anderson is kind of taking a stride forward with that. And I appreciate and admire that with her.
And yesterday we celebrated Michael Phelps' birthday, our most celebrated Olympian. Today is Carl Lewis's birthday. He's 64. 9 out of 10 Olympic medals of his are gold. And when I was before Michael Phelps, that was the greatest, you know, Olympian I'd ever seen when I was a kid. Kind of interesting. They have birthdays back to back. That's kind of wild. So if
track
you want,
and field.
Yes, track and field. As far as, I don't know, overall track and field goes, easily the greatest track and field athlete I've ever seen, by far and away. Just don't ask him to sing. Don't ask him to sing or throw out a first pitch. It's one of the wildest things in my brain of seeing Carl Lewis as a kid doing these amazing things, being one of the last, like, triathlon-type athletes that could do it all in track and field, not just now it's all specialized where, okay, you're a runner, you're a shot put thrower, some of that. Carl Lewis was one of the last throwbacks of doing all the as many events as he could. And then you see him trying to throw out a first pitch, and it's just like it looks like somebody who has never seen sports before. It looks like it's just god awful, and then his singing
just something he never practiced. So.
It kind of is humbling, almost. I would hope for him it is. I think the most underrated person to ever walk on the Saturday Night Live stage, Dan Aykroyd, is 73 today.
Wow.
Dan Aykroyd, almost a household name if he isn't. Very popular, great movie career, many, many different things that he did in his career. And all that being said, completely underrated on that show in his legacy. and not for nothing. I mean, that's actually kind of a credit to him in some ways, because that show was at a lot of egos and a lot of people looking to get on that stage and have a recurring character or something. Maybe nobody more than Chevy Chase, certainly. But Belushi wasn't that different. Different from that, and there were other cast members that were. And then there's Dan Aykroyd, who, hey, what do you need from me? Hey, where do you want me? Hey, what do you need me to do? Oh, the writers came up with this great sketch nobody wants to do. I'll do it. I'll do Bass-O-Matic. I'll do this, and it's just led to him being one of the, I think, the more greater careers to ever come out, not only at his SNL career, but his career afterwards. Not everybody has a great career afterwards. Dan Aykroyd's had quite the career.
Ghostbusters, Trading Places.
To me, it's such a credit, too, that it's so many of these things he's done are outside of his SNL. You know, he did a movie, Coneheads and stuff, and, you know, that was good. But for the most part, most of his...
But he was also in My Girl.
Yeah, that's right. I love Dan Aykroyd. Fred Schneider is 74. legendary voice of the B-52s. Love Shack, Rome, Rock Lobster. Yeah, Fred Schneider. A good singer-songwriter. Terrence Mann is 74, wonderful actor. And Deborah Harry is 80, Blondie lead singer, songwriter, rapper. Yep, Deborah Harry rapped, everybody. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. She's something. Yeah, great artist, great artist. The wonderful Jamie Farr is 91. MASH, yeah, MASH. He was Klinger and MASH. Cannonball Run, I think he was in both of them. Maybe, I know he's in the second one. Jamie Farr, great. Also was on a lot of game shows, Hollywood Squares and a lot of that over the years. He was a good one. And then some people no longer with us. One of my favorite character actors of all time, Andre Bauer, born on this day in 1962. A lot of us will remember him from the TV show Homicide. He was in a movie, City of Angels, with Meg Ryan and Nicolas Cage. But in recent years, he was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And got to play a more comedic character, more funny character, which is something he never really got a chance to do. And just one of the most complete actors I'll ever see. I loved his work. And Sidney Pollack, born in this day in 1934, movie producer, director, Out of Africa, Tootsie, The Firm, Eyes Wide Shut. He's also played Will's dad on Will and Grace.
Oh, okay.
A great director. And Princess Diana was born on this day in 1961, passed away way too young in 1997. One of the more integral people that I got to see, and like all of us of our generation and stuff got to experience her in that time, in that moment. There was nothing really like her out there. Yeah. Somebody who broke the mold of, you know, she had the Disney story. She came from, you know, humble beginnings and, you know, became a princess. And by all rights, that, it, you know, everything else should be, you know, just written in any Disney movie you've ever seen and stuff from there on. But it wasn't. And instead of just kind of doing what so many people had done, not just her and not just somebody in royalty, but many, many people out there. Well, we're already married. We should stay together. You know, we that's what we did or whatever. And that, and especially with the pressures of that. Well, she didn't. She fought against tradition. She fought against that and said, no, we're not happy. And our kids are not going to be happy if we're sticking together. So she left. And then she gets hounded relentlessly by the paparazzi. This is a woman who, during the time of HIV and AIDS, when everybody was afraid to even be in the same building with somebody with HIV, she's putting her arms around them. She's showing you firsthand that it's okay. And I know a lot of people, when they talk about this, say risking her life. She wasn't risking her life. That was the point. She was trying to show that you weren't risking your life doing that. She was the very first person to do it and one of the least likely people to do it. And then we lose this amazing human being because of paparazzi, because of TMZ type stuff and the Inquirer and all these things. And one of the most foolish thoughts I've ever had as a kid is seeing that report happening and coming out of it being like, well, maybe the good thing is maybe this will stop. Maybe this will slow down. Because the only reason I love to get mad at TMZ and Inquirer and these people, that these photographers that go around, you know, going through people's garbages and all that, I love to get mad at them. I can't stand that part of the industry. But I can't get too mad at them because they're not doing it for free. They're not doing it because they enjoy it. They're doing it because people are buying that stuff. People watch TMZ. People watch the Inquirer. They read the Inquirer and these things. So it's on us as a society. Her death is on us as a society. Like, we all got to take the hit on this one. Because while I've never picked up an Inquirer in my life, I can't stand TMZ, all this stuff. I'm a part of society. And this is, we did this, we do these things together. That's how she lived life. That's how she did things. And what have we learned from her passing? Not a damn thing. Nothing. It's an insult. It's an insult, and it's an insult, I would think, to anybody that experienced what it was like when she was around. I'm not saying she was a saint. That's, again, one of the points of her life. She wasn't perfect. And go ahead and raise your hand if you are. Other than my mom. My mom. We want more birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Get them to us. And we cannot think of a better way to celebrate them with our friends over at El Cafe. Get over there today, everybody.
Have a good meal and great pie.
One more shout out to Elliot and Jesse Wirt, our June qualifiers. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, congratulations.
And, of course, a happy birthday to Stacey Nelson and a happy birthday to our qualifier, Mary Lou Gums.
Yeah, happy birthday, everyone.
Get on over to El Cafe, everybody. We'll be back after the break here. More Morning Show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great Tuesday out there. Mm-hmm. I actually talked about this a little while ago, and it's just kind of odd to see this article come up brought to us by studyfinds.com. What's the most awkward thing that happens when you're at a restaurant? Someone accidentally splitting a piece of food across the table while speaking, or someone confidently mispronouncing quesadilla or quesadilla or something like that.
Dropping your fork.
It's, it's always when it's quiet. What about when someone has their food and someone else doesn't? Like your friend's food arrives before yours does, so you immediately tell them to start. But when the roles are reversed, you insist on waiting to take the first bite. A new study looked into why this situation is so uncomfortable. I've mentioned this many times. As long as I can remember, food comes out, I let everybody get theirs, and then I grab mine. It doesn't matter if it's just me and my mom and dad, or I'm at a business meeting, or whatever I'm doing. I cannot help myself. My mom teases the living daylights out of me about this. We always have dinner. We make a point to have dinner on Sundays together. There will be times where my mother will slowly grab her plate and slowly just stare at me like, well, she's doing it and everything, just taking her time. Just messing with me and everything. Because I think she doesn't know where this came from or why I'm like this necessarily. So maybe we'll find out. New study looked into why this situation is so uncomfortable. It found that many people hold themselves to stricter standards than they expect from others. And it isn't just your preference. In a survey of 625 people across 91 countries, 91% reported that waiting for others to receive their food before eating is expected in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know when the last time we've seen 91% for anything. That's incredible. That's really staggering to me.
Yeah, we all also eat food.
And also, how does anybody eat? Like, if there's 91% of us waiting to eat, like, you know, you go first. No, you go first. No, all right, the food's getting cold. All right, somebody eat. Somebody be rude, please. When you're the person with the food in front of you, you might feel uncomfortable about being watched while eating, guilty about seeming inconsiderate, or anxious about appearing rude. So it's easy to follow the norm and wait. But when you see someone else in that same situation, you can't process the intensity of that emotion. You might sense them feeling awkward, so you say it's no big deal, start before it gets cold. Even then, some people don't want to proceed, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever even thought about this situation, Melissa? Have you?
Like, for instance, when you're, not that we ate out a lot when I was a kid, but it was, when you break bread together, when you have a meal together, there's certain protocols that you follow. You know, everybody sits down at the table together and then you wait to start dishing out the food until everybody's seated. I think that's a similar situation. We've gotten away from that a little bit in society nowadays with just the time factor and families not eating meals together as often anymore. So I think it's changed societally. But when you go to a restaurant and your server brings out the food, if there's one person that doesn't have theirs yet, it's probably, depending on the size of your group, your people are probably going to start eating. But if it's just one or two, or even three or four, the pressure to wait is there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's these little types of things in society that happen, I think we've talked about this, social norms and social shame in some ways, where some of this is. And I'll go back to the fireworks thing on this a little bit. I don't. Shame is something that you have to really take in the moment, and it's a case-by-case thing, because I think that it can be very, very hurtful and a misused weapon. Many times. Where at the same time, going back to that that person that has to light fireworks at midnight during a school night or during the weekday or something like that, not a school night, summer, but during the weekday or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that neighborhood should shame that person. Like, hey, knock it off, Phil. Knock it off, Joe. You know, whoever it is. Don't be doing that. I think that we need to get back to some of that. I think we need to bring shame back. We got a lot of people, especially politicians, that have that seem to have no shame whatsoever, and it lets them just get away with anything. I think we need to bring shame back, and you know, I don't think it's a bad time to, but I also think we need to pick and choose it. I don't know that shaming somebody for grabbing, you know, the first pork chop is really the right use of it. I don't know if
somebody has to go first you're sitting down to a family style meal, and you know, usually it's the person who cooked the meal says or passes the first dish, you know, like mom sits down and hands the mashed potatoes to dad, and mm-hmm. then the people just start dishing up their plates. But, you know, I think it also depends back to, you know, eating in a restaurant. It depends on who you're with.
Yeah.
If, you know, if it's you're there with your best friend and you're starving,
and
your food gets there and theirs doesn't, and they say, go ahead, I'm going to go ahead.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. And
other times, if it's not so important, and I'm like, you might just continue chatting and not be a big deal to be waiting for their food to arrive.
Yeah. Yeah. So according to studyfinds.com, it's awkward because there's a disconnect between what you feel and how you perceive other people's feelings in that same situation. So, you know, again, 91%, and not just here in the States, but in 91 countries. So this is a really universal thing that we can all kind of relate to, which is another cool thing, I think, that brings us, you know, we have things in common with people, you know, all across the other side of the world and everything. All over the
world, yeah. And food brings us together.
Yes.
It really does.
It does. Oh, sorry, Melissa. But
no, that's okay. Go ahead.
I just saw it opening, and I jumped on it. Sorry. It does bring us together, and it can divide us a little bit, too, with controversies. We have Pizza Hut's officially controversial limited edition flavor to get into when we get back.
All right.
We'll discuss that when we come back. But listen, James, hanging out with you this morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. 10 o'clock hour, going to kick off with some entertainment news. Got some good stories of the day. Going to get into some not only entertainment, but songs for your 4th of July playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Got that coming up. Talk a little 4th of July and some other great events going on in our area at some of our nonprofits and other places. Mm-hmm. But we wrap up the hour a little bit in a controversial place.
Okay.
And, you know, whether it is Civic Media as a family or it is us here at WFHR, we have never shied away from controversies. We will face them as a community together. Mm-hmm. And summer 2025 is the summer of love, apparently, for Pizza Hut. This past Tuesday, the fast casual pizza chain announced the creation of its Hut Lovers Pizzas, a limited edition menu featuring four over-the-top pizzas, each piled high with premium toppings and all that. That's so
Hut Lovers Pizzas.
Yes. Three of the four Hut Lovers are old favorites. They got the Meat Lovers, contains six different types of meat, Pepperoni Lovers, which has extra cheese and 50% more pepperoni.
That's a lot of pepperoni.
Veggie Lovers, featuring mushrooms, onions, green peppers, diced tomatoes, and black olives. And then the fourth one, a Spicy Hawaiian Lovers Pizza.
Controversy.
To which Pizza Hut acknowledges that this fresh offering ignites one of the most debated pizza controversies that we have. Only 38% of pizza fans say yes, that they, you know, like this kind of pizza, the spicy Hawaiian pizza and everything. To their point, that it consists of spicy marinara sauce topped with cheese, ham, bacon, pineapple, jalapeno, and red chili flakes.
That does sound spicy.
Yeah. Yeah. And this goes back to, you know, the old, whether it's we're talking pineapples or anchovies or whatever, what you should and shouldn't put on a pizza. And obviously,
there is no should and shouldn't.
Exactly.
It's pizza.
Yeah, yeah. It is really whatever you want. But I am curious to the audience out there, you know, we're doing this with foods now where there is, you know, I just want a cheese pizza. Good luck. Good luck. You know,
get a tombstone at the grocery store.
You know, for the most part, you're lucky to find a four cheese pizza or something like that. Like, it just feels like there's nothing that's, you know, quote, regular anymore. Everything's got to have a little bit extra to it or something along those lines. And, I get that from a marketing perspective. But to people out there, are you interested in these? Do you like these? I love pepperoni. I'm a huge pepperoni fan. But I've had the not just Pizza Huts, but other places, like when they pile on the pepperoni. I don't know. It's too much for me. Like, I don't need that much.
Yeah, too much of a good thing can be not good.
Mm. I've learned that the hard way many times in life, Melissa.
Sugar has entered the conversation.
Yes, what? Yeah, very much, very much. I'd love to hear from you guys. Melissa and I would love you to join the conversation. Let us know what are your favorite toppings, what are some wild
what
ones you've tried.
What are the most controversial toppings?
And that could be a household thing. Like in the house, it's, you know, for your family, it's a controversial one.
Some people hate it, some people love it. I actually, my sister-in-law put arugula on a pizza that she made for her and I, because we don't do dairy, either one of us, and it was delicious.
I
really like arugula, because it's got kind of like a peppery flavor, and it's a green, a lettuce type.
Yeah.
But it's really good on pizza.
I really want to try that. That sounds really good, actually. I like arugula, so that sounds really good. I'd like to try that. And we'll keep this conversation going. Reach out to us through the Civic Media app. You can text or call us anytime you like. I did get me thinking, though, about, you know, fast food chain or just pizza in general and pizza chains. And now, who is the big dog? Who's the one at the top of the chain on this one? Because when we were kids, there was the pizza wars. There were, you know, Pizza Hut, Domino's, and
Domino's.
You had other markets, other places kind of jumping into that. And I was curious, you know, how these numbers
were
looking.
Where we're at now.
Yeah. So here's some, and I went to, you can go to toast.com to find the complete article if you'd like. Domino's ranks number one in the U.S. locations, global locations, and total sales revenue.
Really?
So I was a little surprised by that, actually. And just because usually, I would say that it's pretty easy. Domino's probably advertises more than any other pizza place. Hmm. And usually when you see that, there's the second place, you know, team that's doing that. I would have thought that they weren't number one, but they are number one by far and away. With over 19,000 locations worldwide and the second highest U.S. presence, Pizza Hut remains a major global player as well.
Yeah, Pizza Hut was the big one when I was a kid, but because in Sparta they didn't have a Domino's.
Oh, okay.
So we only got Domino's very rarely if we went to La Crosse to the mall, because then we would go to the, you know, food court area, which wasn't a food court at the time, but we got to pick what we wanted. Well, I never chose Domino's because I always wanted a gyro.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of all of our fellow mall rats out there and 90s mall kids, Sparrow had the highest year-over-year growth in both U.S. locations and sale revenue, signaling a strong presence. So Sparrow's not only still out there doing well.
Yeah, and they smell delicious.
There's
really nothing that smells better in the mall than pizza.
Yep, 100%.
Why is that?
I don't know what
that
it is.
That and the Cinnabon place.
I knew there was one I was missing. You're 100%. Yes,
yeah, Cinnabon. Or also the coffee. Okay, they all smell good apparently, but also the coffee place.
Coffee place is good, but I don't know if it was a mark, if they like designed this, if they thought this through, or it just happened this way. But it felt like the malls that had the Cinnabon right at the front of the food court, so you got hit by that smell right away. I bet you anything, they were more successful. I bet you anything there.
I think that it also depended, too. Like, now they've got food courts where they cram all the food stuff together. But back in when I was a kid, they were, like, parceled out throughout the mall.
Yeah.
So you'd walk past the coffee place, and all you would smell was coffee, not competing food options.
There was something cool, too, about being a teenager and having like $5-$10 in your pocket and walking onto the food court and be like, okay, what do I want? and seeing all these options right next to each other and everything.
Yeah. It's like an abundance of choices.
Yeah. I like what you were saying, though. I liked it when they were spread out more. But there was something, too, about a food court. I think more so in major cities, though. Like rural, in like areas like ours, I liked it when it was spread out more. If I'm going to, like, to one of the East or West Town Mall of America Madison or something like that.
Yeah.
So according to this, as far as the numbers go, here are the 10 largest pizza chains in the U.S. Domino's at number one, Pizza Hut, then Little Caesars, Papa John's at number four, Papa Murphy's at number five, Marco's Pizza at number six, Godfather's Pizza at number seven, and then M.O.D. Pizza, Hungry Howie's, and Chuck E. Cheese wraps it up.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Interesting to see Chuck E. Cheese in there still.
They used to be there. I think there still is a Chuck E. Cheese in La Crosse, and we would always go there for my brother Andy's birthday because it was on New Year's. Day.
One of the first birthday parties I got invited to was at a Chuck E. Cheese. I'll never forget it because I was so happy to be invited. I was so happy to, we're having pizza. This is fun. And then those animatronic things came out.
The show.
Yes. What the?
That and the ball pits.
Yeah. Oh, the ball pits were great. My little sister would hide in them because she didn't want to leave.
Where's Jillian?
Every time we went to like the Hardee's here in town when they had it and everything, every darn time. It's interesting to see. I want to go to this Hungry Howie's too. I want to try that. I don't know. I love There's trying different pizza places.
Yeah, and that's not something that I can eat very often. In fact, I shouldn't eat it at all. But you know what? It's pizza.
Yeah.
You know, we only live once.
So true. So true.
I hate you, stomach.
We're coming back around on the next hour, everybody. We'll be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.